Shalom Aleichem, Abiyaf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sota Lamed Ches, Sota 38a, pagination is 75. We are dealing with the topic that began at the end of the facing page, which is the topic of Birchas Kohanim, the blessing that the Kohanim give to the Jewish people, possibly every day, possibly only on special occasions. The timing is a discussion of its own, but there is a concept called Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohanim give blessing to the Jewish people, and Hashem in turn uses that as an opportunity to bless the people. So the Mishnah tells us, B'medina Omer Oso Shalosh Brachos. The general way that Birchas Kohanim is done is as three brachos, three different sentences, and we recite Amen in response at the end of each. So the first is Yivarechecha, then there's Ya'er, and then there's Yisa. And each one of the sentences is followed by Amen. The Gemara on today's daf tells us that the requirement that it be said in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Tongue, in the text that it's found in Chumash, unlike Parsha Sota, that we said in the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek, is recited in the language that the woman understands, but this rule that it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh regarding Birchas Kohanim is learnt from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ko Sivarchu, using these words is the way you should recite and bestow Birchas Kohanim. One of the requirements by Birchas Kohanim is that it be said Ba'amida, while standing. And this refers to the Kohanim, who are bestowing the blessing, they have to be standing. The Mishneh Berurah, Kuf Chav Ches Nun Aleph, points out that from strict halacha, it's only the Kohanim who have to be standing. The congregation would be allowed to sit as long as they're facing the Kohanim with reverence, accepting the blessing. However, the custom is that everyone stands. It's an important piece of information to know, though, if, for example, there's an elderly or sick person doesn't have the strength to stand up, or one can envision a woman is sitting with a baby on her lap, and she wants to know, is it really important that she stand up or not? The child could wake up. So if you know the actual halacha is that the Kohanim have to be standing. The congregation technically can be sitting. The custom is to stand, but if there was a mitigating circumstance, we would find it acceptable for a person to remain sitting. Towards the bottom of the page, five lines up, we find this requirement, panim keneged panim. It has to be face to face. Three lines up from the bottom, Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Naktinon, we have a rule, Lishnayim, if there are two Kohanim who are going to bestow the blessing, Kore Kohanim, you call out Kohanim. We'll see exactly what the point is in a moment. But if it's only an individual Kohen, you do not call out to him. He just begins at the proper time during the service. Mishneh Berurah Kuf Chav Ches Lamed Gimel tells us that this concept of calling out Kohanim to more than one Kohen is because it's a fulfillment of the Pasuk that says, Emor Lohem. Speak to them, empower them, tell them, instruct them that they should now give the blessing. Since it's in the plural, we only perform this preference of absolute fulfillment of the way it's written up in the pasuk when there are two. If there was only one, he would be allowed to bestow the Birchas Kohanim, but it's not a fulfillment of Omar Lohem, speak to them and tell them to give the bracha, and therefore we would not call out Kohanim. Incidentally, there's a nice insight regarding Ta'amei HaMitzvahs, insights regarding mitzvahs. Why exactly is it that Hashem gave a mitzvah that the Kohanim bless the people? And presumably it's linked to the fact that the Kohanim represented high standards for the people. They were role models, and they were spiritual coaches for the people, encouraging them to become greater. One of the critical aspects in coaching somebody and encouraging them to be greater is that they have to feel the love. They have to feel that you're really out for their benefit. As one Rebbe told me, during the first week of school, he's very careful not to give any heavy rebuke if he could avoid it. Because after the students see that he loves them, after they see that he goes out of their way for them, then they're far more receptive. And if he could push it off for a week or so, he's in a far better position in a person's mind to answer the question, what have you done for me yet? Where have I acquired that trust in you, that love? And whether that's true or not in the teaching setting, it's not always so simple, but it seems that that's how Hashem structured Torah, that the Kohanim, who are going to be those coaches and role models, are also the ones who get up, preferably daily, as is practiced in Eretz Yisrael, and recite Be'ahava, with great love, this very powerful section of blessing. The Gemara on Amid Beis, five lines down, tells us Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mis'ava LeBirchas Kohanim, that Hashem desires Birchas Kohanim, the way the Gemara describes it, like for His own purposes. Shene'emar, as the pasuk is worded, V'samu Shemi'al B'nei Yisrael, you shall place My name, My blessing on the Jewish people, V'ani Avorchem, so that I can bless them. In other words, Hashem is waiting for this very special blessing that He wants to give until the Kohanim give it. And when it's done in a physical sense on earth, then Hashem is able, according to whatever structure Hashem wants in physicality, we should make the decision of blessing to bestow on each other, and then Hashem is able to bestow the great blessing upon the people. So Hashem wants them to do Birchas Kohanim so that Kaviyachol He can give His bracha. Kol Kohen Shemivorech Misborech. We also have an insight that the Va'ani Avarchem, so that I will bless them, is going on the Kohanim. And when the Kohanim give bracha to the people, Hashem gives bracha to the Kohanim. Towards the bottom of the page, two lines into the wide, we find a rule, Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim, if a shul is made up entirely of Kohanim, Kulam Olam Leduchan, they indeed all go up to recite the priestly blessing. And the Gemara wonders, Lemi Mevarchim, who are they blessing? Amar Abzera La'acheim Shabbosados, the people who are in the fields and are not able to come to shul, they have their jobs, require their presence, and they're not able to come. This was certainly particularly true on the daily basis, that there were people whose businesses, farming, etc., made it impossible for them to come, and the blessing is being bestowed upon them. Asks the Gemara, Eini v'atani abba b'rei d'rav nimin barchia, am she'achorei kohanim, we have a rule that the people who are behind the kohanim, they declined to face the Kohanim during the blessing, Eino bachlal bracha, they're not included in the blessing. And that's why you'll notice when Birchas Kohanim is about to start, we're very careful to encourage the people who are not in front of the Kohanim to come in front of the Kohanim in order to receive their blessing. Lokasha, the Gemara resolves it by saying, Hada anisia de lo anisi. If a person is stuck, he's in a situation, and he can't come in front of the Kohanim, it's not an act of defiance. It's not an act of negating the blessing because they couldn't come. But if a person was present and could have moved, then the fact that he's not moving into position to receive the blessing is an act of rejecting the blessing, and they're not included in the bracha. In a practical setting, I remember there was a shul in Muncie where I grew up, where the women's section was literally behind the Aron, and therefore to the back of the Kohanim, and it was in a basement. People jokingly called it congregation basement. Those are anusim. They don't have a choice. Where are they supposed to go? They're in the women's section, and it was positioned because they didn't have access to do renovations in a different way. So they're going to be included in the blessing because they're not doing anything to negate the blessing. But if someone is there in shul and declines, he says, it's not so important. So then he's not included. That's what this Gemara is telling us. I recently got a question, sounds off topic, but I think it's very related, the topic of cremation. We know that one of the 13 articles of faith of the Jewish people is that Hashem will do a resurrection of the dead. So we have a tradition that if a person does an act of cremation, orders that his body be cremated, then he's not going to be included in that resurrection. So people wonder, there were people who were cremated against their will during the Holocaust. Does that mean that they don't have a share in the resurrection? Which is a very provocative statement, conclusion. It doesn't make sense that they should be excluded. Besides the fact that Hashem can make resurrection out of anything, just because the person is cremated doesn't stop Hashem from doing resurrection. Hashem can do anything. And the answer presumably is along the same logic lines of this Gemara. If a person asks for cremation, that's an act of defiance. It's an act of negating the resurrection. And a person who does not believe in the resurrection, at least willfully so, if he just doesn't know any better, Hashem has his own ways of dealing with people who unfortunately are not aware. But if a person consciously would go get cremated because he denies the resurrection, that's an act of defiance. That's lo anisi. There was nothing compelling. He could have been included in the blessing and chose not to. But if a person was anisi, was in a situation that they had no choice, it was not in their control, that's not an act of defiance. That's not an act against the belief of Tchiyas HaMeisim, and therefore they certainly are included. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.